Be careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her, or ways to order her books, will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
And welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am your producer and host of this show. Well, doesn't time just seem to slip on by? It's hard to believe that we are already into a quarter of this year, and for most of us, we feel we just do not have enough to show for it. So as they say, time continues to march on by. The one thing that keeps me moving in my life, of course, are my projects. And, of course, as part of this, I certainly appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to my program, and hopefully you are learning something along the way. Before we get to our main topic, if you are intrigued by the paranormal and like true stories, I have 7 books out on Amazon.com and Kindle. Nearly 100 stories. Just type in Paranormal Encounters into the search bar, and these books should be on pages 1, 2, and 3. These books contain true stories of what I've encountered over the past 40 years of my life, with beautifully illustrated pictures and sketches. If you would like to view my book covers and their descriptions, go to my website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. That's www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. So, let's get started. Here is what is on the agenda for this episode. In segment 1, Paranormal Topics, the topic for this week will be Deathbed Confessions and Interactions. Segment 2, Beyond the Grave. A voice talent will share a story from a hospice care nurse who has had numerous encounters with some of his patients appearing to experience deathbed visions or interactions. Segment 3, Ghosts in the News. A voice talent will report an interesting news story about an unexplained ghostly encounter from somewhere around the world. Segment 4, a very popular segment called Maynard and Mildred. This show, this week, will feature all of the outtakes from previous episodes. And segment 5, a new segment called Life As narrated by a voice talent, we'll continue the discussion we have already begun about deathbed visions. If you have a story you would like to share, please write to my email account at krschutz1@yahoo.com. That's krschutz1@yahoo.com. Before we get started on the first segment, let's have a word from this podcast series sponsor.
Donate. Simply click the button that says Donate on the podcast page located on the right-hand side to contribute to this program. We appreciate your willingness to pay it forward.
This segment is called Paranormal Topics. The topic for this discussion will be Deathbed Confessions and Interactions. This is the educational portion of the podcast. Before we delve into this topic, let's break down what the differences are between what a deathbed confession is and what is inferred to be a deathbed interaction or vision. A deathbed confession is described to be the admittance or relay of guarded information someone gives to another, seen or unseen, when nearing the end of their life or encountering death. Not all individuals have the opportunity to participate in a deathbed confession, may that be by choice, sudden death, or refusal to believe they must rid guilt before entering into what most believe to be a healthy afterlife. A deathbed confession to a dying person may, to some extent, alleviate guilt, regrets, secrets, or sins held inside all of his or her life. Although these confessions often free the guilt of those holding them inside, their telling secrets or regrets to a close friend, family member, or unseen vision makes him or her feel better about putting closure to their life. Most reports and hearing confessions are heard in hospitals, hospices, or nursing care facilities. On the other hand, a deathbed interaction, also known as a vision, is often described as an individual who sees, hears, or interacts with a vision, seen or unseen, minutes, hours, or days before his or her death. Again, most of these accounts by caregivers are often heard in hospitals, hospices, or nursing home facilities. If you associate deathbed confessions with deathbed interactions or visions, one can conclude that there is a belief that the afterlife may exist. However, whether the experience be purely scientific or a natural process, one cannot discount the frequency of both experiences. The most popular account is that the dying individual generally reports experiencing a comforting vision or experience. In other words, they're not disturbed by what they are experiencing at the point that they are dying. However, some, though very few, have also reported terrifying or uncomfortable visions as they approach their end of life. And in these rare cases, the individual often reports that he or she did not live a life to be ashamed of or one of regret. I have heard reports by those dying that, number one, they never had a vision or encounter. Number two, some have reported feeling and seeing a tunnel of light. And number three, very few have either experienced blackness or a very dreadful sense of doom. So why do some who have lived an average or modest life experience a dark side or vision upon their passing? Could this discomfort be more physical than mental? According to research, those giving deathbed confessions to seen or unseen visions believe they need to be forgiven for any sins or crimes committed in order to rid their guilt. Often these confessions are tied to the religious or spiritual beliefs and teachings. On the deathbed, the person may confess sins or mistakes they believe they have committed in their lifetime or ask for forgiveness in order to receive relief. As relayal of information is given, the person's emotions may range from hatred to love, can confuse the receiver, seen or unseen, or be blurted out to a vision asking for help. Some are often heard negotiating their deaths with someone. When my father was dying, I recall him yelling out a number of times the word Lord. My father was not a religious man. He became more religious as he became more physically, his physicalness was failing. So during his life, he had a habit of sometimes having discussions or arguments with himself. So how could you really tell if he was talking to himself or somebody else? Something we all do, of course, from time to time. However, in these moments, I could not always tell if there was someone in the room he was chatting with or whether he just wanted to help and to be heard by God. Most of the time, he would look at the clock but never admit he was looking at it or someone. Did my father confess anything on his deathbed? Not really. He may have said the typical things that most people say to their loved ones of, if I ever hurt you, I hope that you forgive me, blah, blah, blah. But in a lot of these situations, really it shouldn't be the one on the deathbed asking for forgiveness. It should probably be the person that they're talking to asking them for forgiveness. And the reason why I say this is because relationships are a two-way street. And not always are individuals easy to, I'm going to use the words, tolerate or get along with in this lifetime. However, when it comes down to those final moments and everything, I do not believe that asking for forgiveness is a one-way perspective. Why are emotions from a sense of guilt one-sided? Well, they shouldn't be. Again, emotions should be a two-sided street here. As a side note, if the confession concerns admittance to a crime, those that do die cannot be prosecuted. However, these statements may or may not be admissible in court either. In some situations, a case may be reopened to give closure to the victim's family. As we look at religion and its effect on deathbed confessions, one can turn to Christianity as an example. Most Christians believe that sins must be confessed to a priest before death. The priest can then abolish or pardon the sins, which aids in purifying the soul, allowing for a happier afterlife with God in heaven. Other religions have different standards and beliefs to aid the individual in reducing end-of-life suffering. So now that we have taken a brief look at what a dying person might engage in upon his or her deathbed experience, let's shift these thoughts to deathbed interactions, or what we call visions. According to research, physician William Barrett, author of the book entitled Deathbed Visions, published in 1926, collected anecdotes from people who claimed to have had experienced visions of deceased friends and family and relatives, hearing sounds of music and also other deathbed phenomena as they lay dying in their bed. Barrett believed visions were evidence of spiritual communication. During the period of between 1959 and 1973, two parapsychologists by the name of Carlos Owis and Erlander Haraldsson out of the University of Iceland reported that 50% of the tens of thousands of individuals they studied in the U.S. and also in India had experienced a deathbed vision. Their interpretations of what they had heard regarding numerous accounts indicated to them that there was evidence of an afterlife. So let's step back for a second to gain a better insight into what deathbed interactions or visions are often known as. One, veridical, you don't hear that very often, veridical hallucinations. Number two, visions of the dying. And number three, pre-death visions. From a scientific evaluation and viewpoint, many psycho pharmacologists and researchers feel deathbed visions are nothing more than hallucinations caused by drugs that act to arouse images of otherworldly beings and deceased friends and relatives. These hallucinations often take the form of deceased relatives or angelic beings during the dying process. These hallucinations are theorized to occur due to hypoxia, delirium, bodily function failures, and mental reactions to stress. When the brain is deprived of oxygen, it is theorized that one experiences a neuronal impairment, thus bringing about a deathbed vision. Although there is little systematic research on this phenomenon, those experiencing deathbed visions appear to be on the rise. Also, the little research that has been done on deathbed visions does not appear to be related to hallucinations due to drugs, fever, or certain illnesses. Those who have had these types of experiences describe their moments to be clear, rational, and uniform. In the Erlander Haraldsson study, again professor from the University of Iceland, he reported 31% of those who had a deathbed encounter believe they had a conversation with someone who had recently died or had been dead a long time, and of these individuals, 67% reported their contacts to be visual, 28% reported their contact to be something that they heard, 13% reported a sense of touch, and 5% reported a type of smell that they picked up. So what do you think? Is it understandable, as emotional beings, that most Christians or religious affiliations may teach or infer that we should somehow wrap our heads a little bit around this a little bit further before making and coming down to any conclusions that deathbed visions are nothing more than hallucinations? Or should we think a little bit more clearly about what we're hearing when people are talking about their experiences and starting to ponder if there is something a little bit more beyond what we actually can see or hear ourselves? Have you ever walked past a room in a hospital, hospice, or nursing care facility, and you heard a person talking to somebody or negotiating with somebody just before they enter their final end of life? Well, as they say, to be continued. This segment will continue in the Life Beyond Death segment heard at the end of this program. But for now, here ends this small portion and segment for this podcast for today. Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 2, otherwise known as Beyond the Grave. In this segment, a voice talent will share a story about someone who not only experienced a deathbed vision, but convinced his care nurse that life may exist even after death by simply opening up a window. Stay tuned.
My name is John. I'm a hospice care nurse. My job is to provide aid and care to dying patients in their final days of life. I feel my work is my life calling. I've worked as a care nurse for nearly 10 years. During this time, I have watched many of my dying patients go through stages of adjustment and struggle when coming to terms with their eventual death. There are even times when I have seen and overheard conversations between the dying patient and someone or something. Who are these people they are speaking to? Who are these people they claim to see in their rooms? Do I believe the patient experiences deathbed visitations from their friends, loved ones, or guardian angels? I'm not sure, but from what I see and hear on a regular basis, I'm leaning in the direction of yes. Are these visits always friendly visits? The patient doesn't appear to be upset once a visitation occurs. Over time, it has been my experience that some dying patients want to be in the company of their family or friends when nearing the point of their death. Others want to die alone or in silence. Those that die alone appear to have someone or something in the room helping them to cross over. So it is my belief and experience that most do not die alone. Although some may believe dying patients experience deathbed visions due to a lack of oxygen to the brain or pain medication, I do not agree with this assessment, as many patients die from varying complications. Not all have or experience hallucinations either. Here is one of my stories. It is about a dying patient by the name of Frank. It was the middle of August 2009. I remember it was a nice, bright, sunny day. Most dying patients, who are sensitive to light, ask their windows to be closed with the shades drawn. However, on this particular day, Frank, a dying patient, asked me to open his window and keep the shade up. I found his request to be quite unusual. When I asked Frank why he wanted them open, he said he was preparing to take a trip with Gloria, his deceased wife who passed away 5 years prior, and didn't want any obstacles in his way as they departed. Days before, I would overhear him talking to someone, I presume Gloria, and negotiating his plans, as if he wanted to stick around just a little bit longer before leaving. As Frank passed away, I turned my attention to the open window and raised shade. When he expired, I could actually feel an electrical charge pass through me, with my hair standing on end, as if his spirit were lifted from him, heading in the direction of the window.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 3 of the podcast known as Ghosts in the News. This segment will be reported by a voice talent who will share with us an interesting ghost sighting witnessed by everyday people around the globe. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everyone, to segment 3 called Ghosts in the News. What ghostly ghouls are lurking in your area? In a news article, as reported by Mirror News, dated March 2017, takes us to Bury, Greater Manchester, United Kingdom, where Alexis Baines claims a male phantom has been haunting the family for 10 years while fancying she and her sister. The article entitled, "Mum Captures Pervy Ghost Who Pinches Woman's Bums, Leaving Handprint on Sister's Thigh in Spooky Selfie," is just one of the many encounters this ghost has made to gain the attention of the family. The report indicates Alexis had been visiting her mum's home in Bury when she took a selfie while pulling faces with her brother Daniel. Upon review of the picture on her phone, she was stunned to spot a frisky phantom's striking features, including a sharp jawline, two black eyes, and a long nose. Alexis believes the spirit has haunted the family for several years, making its presence known by pinching and poking them, especially when she and her friends have had sleepovers at the house. And that is our ghostly moment in the news.
Let's take a break. When we return, we will move into segment 4, entitled Maynard and Mildred. Stay tuned.
Hello, Maynard. What's the matter? Haven't seen a ghost today? Maynard, science can't explain everything. Maynard, just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here. We have appreciated your support.
Enjoy some of our outtakes from our previous shows.
Boy meets ghost.
Director, would you have a minute to check my light? I want to look my best for my adoring fans.
Adoring fans? Hello, Maynard. What's this about your appearance, anyway? This is a podcast, not a TV or YouTube video. Really?
At the lake. Mildred, would you hand me that wrench? I need to get this boat started.
What do I look like to you, Maynard? A handyman? Director, my contract said his boat was to be a yacht, and I don't do wrenches.
I suppose she wants to be paid for handing me a wrench.
Darn right, Maynard. At the library. Maynard, what are you reading? Looks like a Playboy magazine to me.
Shh! Mildred, I haven't even reached puberty yet. At the bowling alley. Director, what the... Every time I roll my bowling down the... Cut! Director, what the... Every time I roll my bowling ball down... Cut! Director, what the... Every time I roll my bowling ball down the lane, she steps in and rolls it right back to me. I need to complain about my working conditions.
Or your bowel. Oh, Maynard. Maynard can't take a joke. Ba 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 and wah. Soda shop. Oh, excuse me. Must have been the soda.
Yeah, and I'm steering clear from your other end, Mildred. Director, I don't get paid enough to put up with her behavior. Can't you put her in line?
Sorry about that. Whew!
Trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treat! Maynard, what does it say on that mailbox?
It says, Property of the U.S. Postal Service.
Oh, brother. Men can't get anything right. At the dentist's office.
It's going to get some... I can't talk right now. What? His hand is in my mouth.
What? What, Maynard? What did you say?
I said, I can't talk right now. His hand is in my mouth.
Oh, sounds normal to me.
At the zoo. That lion is staring right at me. What do you think it is looking at?
His lunch. At the cemetery.
Director, no way am I walking through this spooky cemetery. You couldn't even bribe me with candy bars.
Oh, Maynard, you're such a wussy. This cemetery isn't scary. Are you a little chicky?
Mildred, at least I'm an alive wussy. At the barber shop. Barber, I'm making my big debut tonight. I'm going to be a star, so just take a little off the sides.
No comment. Seeing Santa. Hurry up, Maynard, and slide down that slide. Santa doesn't have all day.
I can't. My pants are stuck on a nail. At the skating rink.
Stand back, everyone. Maynard's going to twirl.
Whoa, 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 oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Overactor.
Building a snowman. I'm almost done with the snowman.
Maynard, that's not where the carrot goes. Valentine's Day. Maynard, say something poetic to me.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You're a ghost and I can't see you.
How romantic.
At the movie theater.
Zombies? They're not scary. My Uncle Oswald is a zombie. He is really a handsome man.
Yes, and I suppose his eyeball hanging out of his head is what makes him really handsome.
Sure. Woo! Maynard, I think I'm going to take off. Have fun going back through memory lane listening to our outtakes. As we move into this year, let's continue to entertain our guests. And next time, let's meet at the park to fly a kite. Okay, Maynard?
Just when you think you are safe from the world around you, you suddenly realize that no matter where you go, you are not alone. Welcome to
Life Beyond Death.
This segment of Life Beyond Death continues the earlier discussion about deathbed confessions and interactions. As reported in a blog by Michael Prescott, the New York Times ran a piece on deathbed visions called A New Vision for Dreams of the Dying, as written by Jan Hoffman around February 2, 2016. Story 1. I died and went to heaven. I saw myself leaving my body and viewing the hospital room, seeing my distraught husband and confused doctor shaking their heads. As my soul rose above me, I recall seeing an angel and that of a familiar young man. The man was my husband's friend named Tom. When I saw Tom, I said, "I didn't know you were up here." Tom responded back and said that he had just arrived. The angel had told me that I would be returning to Earth. As I found myself awakening in my hospital bed, my husband told me that his friend Tom had died in an auto accident. Story 2. A cancer-stricken 7-year-old boy told his mother that he had traveled up a beam of light to heaven, where he visited a crystal castle and talked to God. The boy said that a man approached him and introduced him as an old high school boyfriend of his mother. The man said he had been crippled in an automobile accident, but that in the crystal castle he had regained his ability to walk. The boy's mother had never mentioned her former boyfriend to him. After hearing the boy's vision, the mother called some friends and confirmed that her former boyfriend had died the very day of her son's vision. The crystal castle. We often hear dying individuals reporting they're seeing a beam of light or bright light tunnel when dying. Since the beginning of time, there have been countless reports of dying individuals relaying messages about who they see coming to their bedside. The crystal castle is reminiscent of buildings constructed of glass or other transparent materials that are often reported by near-death experiencers and mediums. These structures are sometimes said to be made of pure thought. In an article entitled Deathbed Visions, as published by a Buffalo, New York college on January 20, 2016, it had presented its findings of a study they conducted where 66 dying patients were interviewed. The study reported that 90% of the patients had at least one near-death dream or vision, and that 99% of them believed their dreams or visions to be real. 50% of these incidents occurred while the person slept, 16% while they were awake, and the rest somewhere in between. The study also found that religious content was minimal when discussing who or what the vision was of. Although studies have claimed 60% of conscious dying patients experienced end-of-life dreams and visions, the actual number is likely to be higher because most families do not report what they see or hear from their dying loved ones for fear of embarrassment. The investigators concluded near-death dreams and visions did not resemble typical dreams and were distinctive from hallucinations or confusion associated with medications, dementia, or illness. Dr. Christopher Kerr, Chief Medical Officer at Hospice Buffalo, states a dying patient's vision is intended to soothe them. However, according to Erlander Haraldsson, professor at University of Iceland, what this study and Dr. Kerr seem to take for granted is that these visions are dreams that represent a function to comfort the dying patient as he or she expires. According to Prescott, not all end-of-life dreams soothe the dying. Researchers have found that about 20% of end-of-life dreams were upsetting. Often, those who had suffered trauma might revisit it in their dying dreams. Although there seems to be some debate about what deathbed visions are, what is certain is that deathbed visions are becoming more noticed and studied to determine their connection with or to a place we do or do not go after we part from our physical earthbound world. What earthbound experience might you encounter before you realize that there may be
life beyond death?
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Subscribe to this program by clicking on the link on her podcast page to follow upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening. Take care, and until next time, be careful what you wish for. The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.